Yeah, I remember my dad used to tell me all the time, he's like, when are you going to come out of that spin that you're in? And I'm just like, what? Because I could be dreaming about anything. And sometimes those dreams I would put into action, not fully into action. I remember I have scored so many winning Stanley Cup shots in the last second of the third period. You would not believe. Like, sometimes I would just do it repeatedly. Like, every time I shot at the net, it was the dying seconds of the seventh game of the Stanley Cup. And now you might ask, well, why don't you play hockey now? Well, because that was a lot harder. It's a lot harder to play with other people when they're trying to knock you out and steal the puck from you than it is to just daydream about hitting it in the upper corner. And I remember when I was a kid in kindergarten, we used to have these big, huge blocks. Well, they probably weren't huge, but they looked huge to me. But we would build them up into a wall, and then we would just smash through them like we were the Incredible Hulk. I've tried to run through a wall. It's harder than it sounds. The Hulk made it look so easy. And kindergarten, it was so easy, and it would smash, and everybody would yell, and it would be great fun. But it's a lot harder to move through a wall because studs, they don't move very easily. And blocks, well, that's even worse. Actually, when I was an electrician, the very first job I ever went on was to a block building factory because the panel that the wall was on had collapsed. How many walls have you ever heard of that just collapsed all by themselves? But this block wall in a block factory collapsed, and I thought that was pretty funny. But today, we're going to talk about things that are easier said than done. So if you brought a Bible today, it's page 908, or yeah, if you didn't bring a Bible, it's in the pew. It's 918. Otherwise, we're going to read from Romans 9, verse 30, to the end of the chapter. What then shall we say? That the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have obtained it, a righteousness that is by faith. But the people of Israel who pursued the law as the way of righteousness have not attained their goal. Why not? Because they pursue it not by faith, but as if it were by works. They stumbled over the stumbling stone, as it is written, "See, I lay in Zion a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. And the one who believes in him will never be put to shame." Those are very challenging words, not just for the people of Israel, but for us today. I remember Gavin, who Julia mentioned, he asked me about the Israeli flag one day. And he said, I was kind of shocked. He said, because of all the world religions, they all feel that, like, Muslims believe that Jesus was a prophet born from a virgin. I have sat in a Muslim's home, and we have had this discussion, and they're like, yes, yes, Jesus was born of a virgin, but he's just a prophet. He's a good prophet, but he's just a prophet. I don't know how they can accept a virgin birth, but not a divine incarnation. In India and in Hinduism, they believe that Jesus was a great moral teacher, that he had great wisdom to share with the world. But in Israel, Jesus was a man who stood against the authorities of his day and died for his trouble. They despise Jesus. Somebody was telling me that they were listening to Jews in Israel, said, "Oh, if I see a Christian, I would spit on them. I want nothing to do with anybody that is associated with Jesus." And yet, if you read through Scripture, and I know we have, the Old Testament continually points to Christ. It continually points to Jesus as their salvation. And yet, they don't see it. They don't see that they are justified just as much as we are by the works of Jesus Christ. God said that throughout the New and the Old Testament, he talked about how the people will honor me with their lips. They will say all these wonderful things about me, but their hearts are far from me. See, faith, it's easier said than done, because faith is very easy to talk about. It's very easy to say that I have faith in Jesus Christ. It's a lot different to walk out in that faith. I remember Indiana Jones in the Last Crusade, when he was looking for the goblet that Christ had drank from during the Last Supper, and he came to that cliff, and there was this big chasm, and on the other side was the rest of the tunnel, and he had to try and figure out how to go through it. And he remembered about this leap of faith. And so even though while he was looking down, it was hundreds of feet deep, he stepped out into nothingness. And there was a rock there that he just couldn't see before. I remember looking at that and I thought, you know, Indiana Jones is pretty cool, but if I had gotten to that point, I would have just turned around. There is no way that I would have stood there on the side of a cliff and thought, yep, I can do that, and just walk out into nothingness. But that's what Christ has called us to do, because we talk a lot about how, oh yeah, I believe that Jesus, he's got my back, he wants the best for me, but he always keeps leading people into danger. He brought the Israelites out of Egypt, and where did he lead them? To a sea. And Egypt was rushing down upon them. And what did God said to Moses? Lift up your hand, and I will part the sea. Like, that seems ridiculous, doesn't it? Even has God ever told you to do something that, like, oh, go talk to that person? You're like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to go talk to that person. I don't even know that person. God is telling Moses, hey, I will part the sea so that you can walk through it as if on dry ground. Like the water was gone. And Moses believed. Moses put his faith into action, and he believed. And sometimes God asks us to do the smallest things, and we're like, no, you got the wrong person for that, because I'm not comfortable with that idea. I'm not comfortable talking to that person, or I just don't talk to people. And yet God is always calling us into these situations, if we're following him, to be outside of our comfort zone. He's calling us to follow him. And we know that God is here to save the people of the world. He came to cure the sick and the dying. Not just the physically sick and dying, but the spiritually sick and dying. And so that's where Jesus is. And he's calling us, come and follow me. I'm not going to take you to the nice, the crystal palace where everything is peachy and everybody agrees with everything that you have to say. I'm going to take you to the people that need to hear that I died for them. That takes faith, because for some of us, we're like, nah, I don't want to associate with those people. I actually heard, it was actually during my DBMD interview, and one of the interviewers said something that is really the only thing that I remember from that interview. It was 90 minutes long. And he said, if those people made that choice and they go to hell, I'm okay with that. And I thought, where is the compassion? Where is Christ's love for those people when you say, I'm okay with that? That's the choice they made. And I understand free will. Don't get me wrong. I love free will. But your heart has to break for those people who make that choice. You can't just be, oh, I'm okay with that. They got what they deserved. I hope that we never get what we deserve. Because not one of us deserves to be in God's presence. Not one of us deserves to be able to stand and hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Because our salvation comes through faith. Faith that Christ's blood has washed away our sins. Nothing that we can do or say has any impact on how much God loves us. We cannot say that, oh, I've observed the law. I've went to church. I've tithed. Those are all important things, but they are not worthy of bragging about. That is the bare minimum for just being grateful that Christ died for us. I'm pretty sure I got off my notes there. Israel, and when I talk about Israel, I'm talking about the church. We have a ton of knowledge about God. Do you know what the difference between knowledge and wisdom are? Anybody? Leonard's smart. He went and he asked Gloria. I don't know who said it, but that was right. Roy. That's right. How to apply the knowledge that you read about. Because Scripture continually tells us that it is by faith. By faith. And we want that tangible faith. It's so much easier to just obey the law. Generally, I drive at the same speed every time I get on the highway. Unless I have a very long distance to drive, then I will speed. But if I'm just driving to North Bay, I will set my cruise control to 100 kilometers an hour, and I'll just drive. Sometimes I forget. Maybe I'm talking. Maybe I'm daydreaming. But I forget to set the cruise. And I notice that I'm still driving at just 100. Because that muscle memory is there. And sometimes when we rely on the law, all we have is, is muscle memory. And we think, oh, I'm a good person. I'm a good driver because I just kept it at 100 and I didn't speed. Never mind the fact that I was daydreaming and I don't remember what the last 2 kilometers looked like on the road. Thank goodness I was going straight, I think. Because, well, my speed was good. God gave us the law so that we would recognize the sin in our life. God gave us the sacraments. He gave us the church. He gave us the Spirit. His Holy Spirit came down on Pentecost to convict, to transform our lives so that we would be more like Christ. Because that has always been the goal. That is why we come to church. It is not so that we can enjoy the music. It's not so that we can enjoy having me tell you that we're doing everything wrong. It is so that we could be transformed by the Holy Spirit into Christ's likeness. That is only possible if we are willing to surrender to God. That's only possible if we believe that Christ's blood was enough for us. Now that belief part is the really hard part, because it's very easy to say, yes, I do, I believe. I believe that God sent his Son to die for me, to take my sin away, to cleanse me of that sin, so that when God sees me, all he sees is Jesus' blood washing my sin away. That is so easy to say. But how many people are like, yeah, but I also did this. I've also been pretty good in this area. I've abstained from that. I turned away from that. I did pretty good. We're not. And if we take that mentality to the throne of judgment, and we try to say anything other than, I have been washed by the blood of Christ, our secret will get out. Like, we can hide right now behind this guise of, oh yeah, no, I'm good. Christ is everything and all for me. But when we get to that throne, there will be no hiding. And I think one of the most damaging things, and God told us ahead of time, and yet we still forget. He says, if you judge others, you will be judged by that same standard. And it's really easy for us to start pointing fingers. It's like, oh, I wouldn't do things that way. I would, ooh, you need to reevaluate your life there. And it's so easy for us to do that because we think that it's our own doing. We think that, oh yeah, if you were more like me, everything would be perfect. We might not actually say that, but we think it. If we're being honest with ourselves, we'd always like people to agree with us because we're doing things the right way. The only right thing that we can do is surrender to Christ. The only right thing we can do is to look at those people that we're pointing our fingers at, say, that person needs Christ. That person needs to know their worth, their value. They need to know that the Creator of the universe saw them before they were born and said, I love that person. And I am going to die. I am going to be a sacrifice for that person. It's really difficult to live with faith. Is very difficult because there is no judgment on our part. There is no finger pointing. In Galatians, it talks about there's no malice. There's no gossip. There's perfect communication when we love the way Christ has called us to love. But we live in a society that rewards effort. We live in a society where merit and hard work will help you move ahead. In the same voice, we'll say that, but we're not of this world. We're of Christ's kingdom. But I'm still gonna get ahead. I still want to be on top because I worked hard. I'm reminded of the parable that Jesus talked about, the landowner who in the beginning of the day he called the workers into his vineyard. And he went back out throughout the day at 9 and at noon, and he began to gather more and more workers. And then in the last hour, he went out again and he's like, what are you doing here? Like, I have work for you to do. And that person came and they had 1 hour of work. But when it came time to pay all the people, he started with the person that had only been there an hour and he gave them a day's wage. And he moved on and on and on until he got to those people that had been there all day long. And they're like, hey, why is that person getting the same as me? I have put in so much work. I've been here all day. And Christ, he says, is this not what you agreed to? Isn't this what you said you would come and work for? But that day's wage is salvation. That's the wage that we receive from God. And it doesn't matter if you spend all your life in the church or if you make that confession on your deathbed. Salvation is the only thing that truly matters. Once we start saying, hey, but I've done all this stuff. I want more. What more is there than salvation? What more is there than to be in God's presence? And he's already promised that to you. If only you would accept it. And yet, somehow, we think that we're entitled to more. I can't even wrap my head around what more there would be. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your patience with us as we wrestle with what it means to live by faith, what it means to have salvation handed to us as a gift. Lord, you have done the work. All we need to do is receive it and be grateful. Lord, we thank you for your for your love towards us. Lord, as we surrender our lives to you, may you fill us with your Spirit. Transform our hearts and our minds so that we may be more like Christ. In Jesus' name we pray.